Living Large.
Yes.
My dogs are barking like crazy. I don't know what. Foxy, I know you can hear because I picked up on her cute little bark on Facebook. Yeah, the guys just are working in the house. Who knows where? So rather than have them barging through, I
of mesh. Yes. Oh, yes. It's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah, that's everyone has that pretty much. That's the standard.
That's what I figured, man.
I don't. You know, it's a more of a Florida thing because I don't. That wasn't. You didn't see that often in areas, I guess. It does take a lot of water.
Yes.
You know. But yeah. Not so much here because, of course, it rains more often.
Right, right, right. Yeah. They're in a crisis because they have to – they pump it in from out of state even in New Mexico. So, yeah, like second homes type situation.
I gotcha. Interesting. Yeah.
So I know you've got some not-so-awesome news about Body Power.
Yeah, so the Body Power thing is not going to happen. They just just had some logistical things. I'll spare everyone. Yeah. And they had the Academy and Evolution of Bodybuilding, I think they called it, which now they're calling the Underground, and like a couple different gyms, all sorts of places where they had all sorts of live presentations going on. And this year they just totally, I think this is a function of just the whole thing. I always had someone I was going to get together with or shoot a video with. I met Jordan and Corin one year, and right. Joe Benley hooked me up, and we went and trained at Strength Asylum one year. Vicky Mercetta, I actually thought that was like, hey, Skylar, how about we just reorganize for next year? That was their call, basically, not mine so much. So, but that's all good because I know I can help, my girlfriend Lainey with her peak week.
Yeah. How's she doing?
You can go to her, right now.
Okay. Nice. Nice.
Yeah. It's like 3-hour drive from Dallas, Fort Worth, where she is.
Okay. So I take it you're going to come out there for that too then.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I got an Airbnb. And I'm going to be the chauffeur.
Nice.
And the getter, and yeah, her daughter will be there too, of anybody. He just is just a great dude. Really, really good. He cares about his athletes as much as anyone I've ever seen or
heard of.
That's
really cool.
Really, really good person. So Lainey wanted to try Peak Week the way I've done it. That's just the standard. You don't have to. There's another way around that. So I'm trying to help him. Because he's a phenomenal coach, he's a good guy, as much as possible. I mean, the lengths he goes to for his clients are just ridiculous. I'm not going to say. Cool. People are like, "Where have you been? What have you been doing? You travel a lot, don't you?" I'm like, "Yeah, I do." So I did that video for Brutal Muscle. That was a couple weeks ago now. Did I do that before the last?
I don't think so. No, I think you mentioned it, but I don't think it was done yet.
Back and forth and auto-regulating and training like 3 times a week or every other day. And just trying not to, I got a weird shoulder thing going on. So I'm getting that treated. I think lying on this, my guess is that lying on this, I'm still able to train around it a little bit, but when I go and train and find an exercise I can do the right delt, cause it's spasmed all the time in some way, shape or form somewhere, not all the time, probably 2/3 of the day, I'd say. It feels like she did some deep tissue work, and she actually dug into it pretty good. So I'm doing all my regular things. I do the broomstick stretch.
Okay.
Stretch, yeah.
Are you talking about, yeah, over the head?
Yep. And that helps tremendously. So that's why I went and saw it. So I'm easing back. I'm still doing those things, but I'm trying to like find a sort of a steady course of therapy. I'm hopefully I'll go one more time this week if I can squeeze it in. And I'll keep doing the stretches and those sorts of things. It's getting better. I'm inching towards being back.
You know what I mean? Like, I would have ignored it. Yeah, I would have kept pushing, and then it would have become a real issue versus now you've been out a couple weeks from that particular movement. Could you still do other things like laterals, for instance?
I haven't. I didn't try yesterday. Pulling the joint apart was not going to suit well for my for my delt and for the injury or whatever's going on in there. So haven't done those, but there was a machine, a side lateral machine that I've been able to do. And I've just been using that.
Yeah.
And I go to town on that without.
I started switching my back training up to 2 times a week, and it's been a while to get used to that. I'm just not used to I wasn't used to the process. I was used to doing, cause that now what I do, you know, with push pull legs is I hit it everything twice about 800 or so. Now they're probably more like 1,000. They're back down to like TRT level. And that's really all I've done for the last year or so. And then I just took a picture of my back yesterday or the day before, and I could see, like, I got to do a side of a traditional logbook, but I will find an exercise, like take dumbbell rows. And I will, while I'm doing that, I'll do it for maybe 3, 4, or 5 weeks in a row while it's feeling good in a groove. And mm-hmm. I will progress with it. Be it
forward, one step back.
Yeah.
Like over the, yeah.
Yeah, could be.
It'd be interesting if you knew like what you were doing a year and a half ago or when you started this higher frequency strategy. It'd be interesting to see how much you progressed.
Well, it's hard to compare, you know, in that way, because I was doing 3 sets before and stopping at whatever 12 reps. But now, right. Like if I'm at one of my gyms, they only have 130-pound dumbbells. So if I train there, I have to.
The smaller ones?
I guess.
Yeah. You weren't doing like a, when you were fresh, all out test set to failure.
Right.
So you were always leaving a few in the tank. So no direct comparison.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the volume's less too.
Feeling it more? Yeah. And so I'm getting more out of it. And so I don't need to use as much to get like a really good contraction. And I feel like, geez, mm-hmm. if I were to put as much weight on as when I started, I'd bury myself. Like I wouldn't be able to lift it with just the glute, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So no fight.
Like this new program we have, it's called the Swole Trinity. You might've heard of it.
Yeah. That's going to, people are looking, you know, it's going to be, Paul is so fucking amped.
Yeah.
Make this happen. And Aaron's like, or Alan's like, what the fuck is going on here? You know, he's really excited too. Like,
guys go back and forth. Texting is like being a part of like a text thread with like 15-year-old girls. Sometimes they're having so much fun.
I got to send a message. I have no way to go now. People want to come mow. I have guys who mow the lawn.
This is behind the scenes, guys. We can see what Dr. Scott texts, what he looks like texting in his backyard when we're not around.
I have no choice. This is kind of like, I nowhere to go. I could go on my roof, maybe. I don't know. People I could think of.
Okay.
In the UK, like I tagged probably 100 people, sent it
oh,
to
wow.
them. Yeah. But still, yeah. No body power.
Man.
It's just, how it is. It's going to be totally, totally different, I think. So. But Dave Crossland will be there at the Underground.
Yes. Yeah, what do you think, man? What's up with that?
Well, obviously he wasn't too worried about, you know, appearances in the off season.
Yeah,
you
right, he, right.
I wonder how old is Sean first been sort of Olympia contender, and I saw him in Arizona. He was wearing like a full sweatsuit and he looked like very average and like normal sized person.
Yeah.
I didn't, unless I kind of knew who he was and recognized his face, I wouldn't have known that he was Sean seems to be doing in different iterations of his off season. So let's see, I'm guessing he's totally clean. I don't know what he's doing with his training. Hmm. It's hard. He's got some muscle mass there, but you can sort of like lump yourself into one of two camps.
Okay.
Muscle mass is my main challenge as a bodybuilder.
Mm.
I want to keep my size. So when I come off, I keep my food high. I let the body fat accrue and I keep the muscle mass using food as the anabolic. Well conditioned, but he's not a mass monster. So it would make sense if for him having enough size is the thing he's most worried about, not getting in shape.
Yeah.
That one strategy would be just to, when you come off, keep the size.
Yeah.
Is Sean, we're going to still, you're still going to have your off time. So we rest your responsiveness to all the gear and everything you're going to do. I want to keep your food up. I guess he's probably doing some training. I don't know. Who knows? You know, it's possible he's not doing any. Maybe that was the strategy this time, is keep that muscle mass. So we don't have to worry about that. We know you're going to gain some when you come back on, and then we'll have plenty of time to bring you down, and we're going to have more muscle, on stage. Because we kept it in the off season, every supplement available to them. So when they come off, they keep the body fat low.
Yeah.
Cause that's an issue for them. Maybe there's someone who's quote unquote endomorphic, so to speak. And so having low body fat, when they're going to down because they know losing that body fat is such a treacherous experience.
Yeah.
So if you're a body fat phobic person or you're a someone has a hell of a time dropping body fat, you would stay lean during those off periods or during those detraining periods. Or
the point
close the door.
I think that's so, I think that's a great way. Yeah, if they know that they can get him in shape, then you know, then why not? Why not try? It sounds like in the past he probably hasn't pushed up his weight that much in the off season. So this could be a new Sean Roden.
Yeah, and look at us.
Listen, we're at like episode 61 here. He's provided so much great content, so much great information to all of us. I mean, he puts a lot of thought into all these questions that he answers. I mean, none of this is off the cuff. He puts his edge noble if you're international, or you can get the ebook over at byobbcoach.com. So thanks again to Dr. Scott for everything he's doing. Also, I'd like to thank our sponsor, True Nutrition. True Nutrition has been advertising with us for a little while now, and I fish oil from them. I can get multivitamins. I can get intra-workout, pre-workout, you name it. They have a lot of great products, and these are products that are made specifically for bodybuilders. It's a company that competitive and hardcore bodybuilders have trusted for. You take part by going to the forum, which you can see that on your screen right now. This is forum.advicesradio.com, and we are in the bodybuilding section. You can register there. It only takes a minute, and fish oil with my morning shake and before bed alongside Metamucil, creatine in the morning and before gym. Everything else, vitamins, valerian, milk thistle, and olive leaf.
I was typing in something here to remember, but I can do off the top of my head. So there it is. This is a great question. So I get this one a lot. I got I call this the bells and whistles of the intra workout, like what to do with all those sorts of things. So so the rule of possibility. So I can find this question again here.
All right.
While my computer is being so bizarre, it's so weird. Or possibly could be like an insulin sensitizing effect.
Mm.
Because one of the things, of course, we're doing in the protein, those are helping with glycogen resynthesis, insulin release, which can be anabolic when you've got amino acids and increased blood flow. Insulin's going to be anti-catabolic as well. The protein, of course, is anabolic and anti-catabolic. We're replenishing glycogen, fat uptake, or to what extent you can really use that fat as a fuel, which can be used during the rest intervals. When you're actually training, you're using glycogen, the energy demand is just so high, but that's probably where some of that fat gets used. Mm. So taking those two things in together, that's why we would take creatine with grape juice back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Grape juice is a high glycemic carb, so you've got lots of insulin release. It would help with creatine loading.
Or like so you buy the
loading or consuming fish oil, supplementing with fish oil over the course of weeks will increase the protein synthetic effect of amino acids. So these are like literally amino acid infusion studies.
Yeah.
But suggest that you basically sensitize muscle to oil, fats. Like one of the things I don't know if I'm trying to think of anyone that I know of has tried this with fish oil, but people like to use MCT oil.
Mm, yeah.
You know, because it can be oxidized more rapidly than regular. You know, if you have your meals set up so you have a meal before you work out, and then you can literally have a meal during your workout, and then you don't have to try to have something after you've trained because you've had a meal literally during your workout, then you can have another one an hour or so later. If that intra-workout is large, you're taking in a lot of food or a lot of calories in your intra-workout. So back in the day, people always ask me about this still, but I wanted to see what I could possibly do, so I worked my way up to about a 2,000-calorie intra-workout shake.
Oh, my God.
Labrada Lean Bodies.
Okay.
Which was like 350 calories per packet, I think, or what was the other, like an MR? Those Labrada or Metrics, depending on whichever. So two of those.
Mm-hmm.
So that was another 700 calories.
That solved it, though.
Yeah, it did. It did.
Okay.
I mean, I was pushing my food. That was a time I was trying to figure out how to fit in about 6,000 calories. That's what I work up to in the off season.
Yeah.
So it made it literally, I mean,
wow.
And I literally remember, like, literally, I would train legs like this. I trained legs and I'd, you know, or I was doing DC training, I think, during a lot of this time. So I have a leg day and a, you know, biceps and abs thing that day.
I feel like I'm going to barf just listening to you tell this story, by the way.
Yeah. But I would just, we're like around noonish. So I had like a 1,000-calorie breakfast and I could pound that and then I'd be done by 1 o'clock or two. And then I have like a meal at 3, 7, and 10, something like that.
So did you ever get sick doing that?
I don't think I did. Yeah. And yeah, all the, that made me feel not so hot.
Yeah. I bet, man. I think the most I ever used was about 200 or 250 carbs from GlycoFuse, that Gaspari product, along with some essential amino acid, a reason to view. But you know what? There are some people, Scott, that just prefer the audio. I think I generally am an audio podcast person myself.
Oh yeah. Well, you can do other things. You know, you don't have to pay attention to your phone. You can clean the house, what have you.
Yeah.
So I found this XX. They're still for Spray Banana. Yep, that was the flavor, man. That's the only flavor they had. Oh, maybe they had a fruit punch, too. Let's see. Supplement facts. Oh, sorry. It had 980 calories.
You were close.
Yeah, I was fucking 1,000, pretty much.
Right.
And then ascorbic acid, natural artificial flavors, potassium sorbate, blah, blah, blah. Red number 40.
Yeah, bread number 40, that's where that's the magic maker, right?
Yeah,
there.
Right there. Yeah. That's a sulfame K. So they had to throw some artificial sweetener in there.
A lot, man.
I know, it was thick as shit.
Huh.
Super thick.
Huh. I wonder what would happen if I just started drinking one of those every day on top of my normal nutrition.
You'd probably get fat as hell.
Maybe that's what Sean Roden's doing.
Yeah. Bodies.
Yeah.
Which, like, you know, 35 grams of protein or something like that, and then I'd toss in a couple scoops of protein and then however much maltodextrin I needed.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Now, you were saying all this in reference to fiber.
Oh, yeah. Benefiber fiber fixed that.
Mm.
Fiber is a great strategy, like, if you want for the fullness that it'll have.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it'll fill you up. It also, you know, fiber will feed the microbiota, the microbiome in your gut as well. So fiber's got all sorts of...
Vegetable fiber, is that prebiotic? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the thing, we just really don't know. There's all sorts of sort of secondary evidence as to what you see in the microbiome in terms of the different species of bacteria and use. And Saccharomyces boulardii is one that I'll take that is helpful. And, you know, the fructo and the monooligosaccharides that you'll see a lot of times combined with those are helpful.
Hmm.
So you kind of know that, and then stay as healthy as you possibly can. And that's the interesting thing is to what extent the body's health will then impact the microbiome's health, or to what extent it goes the other direction is kind of like the catch 20. My general understanding is that they haven't basically sort of ironed out or teased out all those intricacies, because you've got so much complexity there in the microbiome with bacteria and the phages and the food they're being fed. It's like a whole from just saying, you know, eat with a high variety of food that we already know is associated with good health outcomes. I can't give any specific recommendations. I don't think anyone quite can yet, unless you have something like a particular type. Any herbs or anything that you want to risk any potential limitation in absorption during your workout, because basically, remember, it's an abnormal act here. You're activating the sympathetic nervous system, fits perfectly, hopefully, you know, or when you're going to sleep at least, perfectly with the idea of getting maximal absorption of whatever else you're trying to take in.
Okay.
So that's nutrient timing right there. For sure.
All right. I will move on in a short period of time. Should fats be more controlled than carbohydrates? Also, are there specific recommendations regarding carbohydrates that are better utilized with a GH and insulin protocol around use, i.e. oatmeal?
Like, which is basically, I think it's a 12-hour half-life, something like that, on Lantus. So it's basically just you're hyperinsulinemic all the time.
Yeah.
That, I don't think, is the best way to get the most bang for your buck on insulin food. And you're probably naturally insulin sensitive. And that's the type of person who is just going to need the food, which is going to mean hyperinsulinemia around the clock. They're constantly eating. And who, not saying they should or shouldn't, but to be perfectly honest. So
fair enough.
Yeah, so we'll kind of rule that out. So the idea here would be then using insulin. It seems like the most effective way to kind of get your most bang for the buck is to use it infrequently. Hmm. 3 years at maximum from using insulin before you work out is compounded very easily. So you may the carbohydrate that you need to cover a given amount of insulin, let's say it's regular insulin, Humulin or Novalin R,
okay,
is going to be very different with the clean over the years.
Okay,
you can do so. You run that risk, of course, if you're trying to thread the needle in terms of euglycemia and keeping your glucose levels normal or above, slightly above normal, with nutrient handling anyway. So you get some insulin, at least not nearly as much from fat, because fat really doesn't need it, because any fat in excess of what your caloric requirements are over the course of a day or any sort of time period, where so you look at those fat cells on average, there's going to be negative fat balance. So there's a constant flux of lipogenesis and lipolysis in fat cells that is changing, and it's mediated by the nutrient availability that you have and the insulin bulk. Do a dirty bulk with insulin.
Yeah.
Eating McDonald's, it's a great way to get really fat really fast.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, that just, yeah. But you, if you find people who are really metered and they know how much carbohydrate they need, they're using insulin in a way that is very anti-catabolic. It has a very positive anabolic effect on protein metabolism, protein balance overall.
Okay.
That's when people seem to make the most gains, is when they're really highly meticulous about their insulin use. Definitely has an anti-catabolic effect. So it inhibits protein breakdown. That's pretty clear. If you go from like a no insulin scenario, like a diabetic scenario, to normal insulin levels, insulin has, so they'll just waste away and they'll be thirsty as shit. That's that kind of diet. There's also a diabetes insipidus where people are also thirsty for another reason. So it has that anti-catabolic effect, and it doesn't have any protein available for protein synthesis. So why could protein synthesis be elevated when there's nothing to synthesize? If the amino acid levels are low, you're not going to have high protein synthesis because you've got nothing to make it from. It's like the muscle cells aren't so. Hmm. When you have elevated amino acid levels in the blood,
okay,
and you've got more blood flow, both of those things increase amino acid delivery. So you imagine imagine the muscle cell is like a storefront, and you're looking at the number.
You know how to manipulate it and use it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, a lot of people don't have your knowledge. So it, like you said, isn't it faked quite a bit?
Yeah. It's very expensive to buy the raw materials. So yeah, it's often faked, and you're going to get just, more
time. We had this great product at the store. How come we didn't sell more of this product? It's like, well, because you didn't have, the road was blocked and your customers couldn't come by and buy it.
Mm, yeah.
You didn't have elevated protein synthesis because you couldn't have delivery of amino acids because the road was blocked.
Yeah.
Or the amino acid level
makes us male.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a bad thing, folks. I mean, you in my opinion, like, I think it's just it's a fantastic drug, and it's just a hormone that you put in your body, like melatonin.
Yeah.
I mean, essentially, that's what it is.
Podcast it was, but somebody was saying that insulin is not anabolic, that it's a misnomer, that it just stores stuff, period, that it stores anything, period. And that, that's why I wanted to ask, is it somebody,
what to expect from Tren or from Winstrel or, from the other end of the spectrum. I know what to expect from like Equipoise or Deca,
Right. But a couple things is like, one, your experience with it, and two, like, you're getting the real stuff. And the other thing,
first name of the authors.
Okay.
So I can send you this if you want. I'll take a screen capture and send it to you.
Sure.
You can post it up here.
And then I got to run.
Never done that before. It's very difficult, I think, for them too, to manipulate and too, to know what the side effects are going to be, like, and what they're feeling,
sure.
What they're feeling and how they're looking, and you have the eye for it. So I just think that's why, again, and I'll say it again, somebody like you is invaluable.
You train the same time he used to.
Let's see if I can get you this picture here. The last picture popped up here. Let me see where this one is. When I'm
able to cut it out, but I do feel like with more tests, I'm able to stay fuller. And I think it might just be from having more hormone that's supporting muscle.
Valid, very valid.
So I'll just leave that one there. Next question.
Delivery. And they had actually low, intermediate, or high insulin doses. It was only the intermediate in this case where they actually saw an increase in protein synthesis, not in the high one, which is kind of odd. So there's still some oddness in this.
And that will become my new base. I only weigh myself on Mondays to avoid the scale screwing with my head. But why the sudden drop instead of consistent losses in body fat? Is this normal? Or
oh, to what extent you get a really powerful effect in muscle growth with insulin in many, many cases. Not everybody, but many, many people see this. And some of it, of course, can be because
It could be sleep. It could be cortisol. It could be some holding cortisol. It could be stressed out. It could be something like that. But, you know, your body will constantly fight you. And, Scott, you know it better than anybody. Your body will fight you, and then your body eventually has to give in.
Yeah.
Let me see if I got to the rest of that question here, Scott, before we.
Yeah.
So
are there any specific recommendations as far as the types of carbs to use?
Yeah, so this is always an interesting thing.
Because I am what I would consider to be like an artist with this.
True. And I mean, that's
so I don't have all the specific answers all the time. You know, there are people that are real like science based. And I guess in some ways that makes for interesting
general. But a cream of rice would probably be a better one. Whatever you can get in that sort of matches the person. So and matches how long you're going to have the insulin in your system. So I have people, ask me about wanting to use
about like 20 almonds and then let's reduce those meals down to three servings of 10 almonds, which, so we cut the almonds in half and then you have this dramatic fat loss. And then we see like, oh, he is responding to lower fats. Let's go with that.
In that guy's situation. But, the carbohydrate in terms of the GI, should match the profile of the insulin in terms of its pharmacokinetics and its pharmacodynamics.
I think what your point is it's kind of like you get people that are like, hey, Chuck, I need a new program for like my squat.
Yeah.
Okay, what's going on? Well, I just want something new. Well, is your squat going up? Well, yeah, it's going up. I just want something new. Why?
Exercise, for instance. So actually, the pharmacokinetics can too. So that was like the example with if someone were to use insulin, regular insulin, pre-workout versus just some other time during the day. Let's say it's not even
that shit. Your body doesn't want to be. Your body has a set point, but it doesn't want to be like 2% or let's say 5%. It doesn't want to be that all the time, so it gets resistive. That's why, like, your metabolism slows down because your body's accommodating it, right?
Would ideally, you know, if you're dotting your I's and crossing your T's, would match what's going on pharmacologically and physiologically in terms of whatever insulin you've used, where it's been injected, whether it's been injected into an active muscle, how hot it is that day.
Everything, like I said earlier, to be 100% all the time. By the way, we have a nice clean connection now that your
neighbors.
Yeah. Now that they left for the day, that's not your fault, man. You can't control that stuff. But
like really good.
I just want to kind of like direct
the big one?
Other shoulder. It's a little one.
Okay,
he's gone.
Okay, good. Scared me for a second.
I'm just not used to seeing that.
Oh, they're everywhere. Yeah, they're awesome. Yeah. My dogs jump on them all the time. They taste terrible. I think I haven't tried one. But I'm pretty sure they don't taste very good.
I can stand on the top of a fucking mountain, you know, looking down at the rest of the world and just know, like, I did shit on my terms, my way, no regrets, no feeling like a douchebag, no selling out. And because of that, you know, even when we were talking about...
In a way, because they're like an insulin mimetic. or insulin secretagogue.
Okay.
Carbs and protein too. You can, like, from a bodybuilder's, like, a chemist perspective, you're using those as drugs to alter
where the industry is at and what we're doing with Geared Up. I always felt with Geared Up, we were trying to kind of fight the industry. And by the industry, I just mean kind of the direction things have gone with social media and with, you know, the insta-famous umpteen divisions shows that are 500 deep with no quality.
Time, then whatever insulin someone might use is going to match that carbohydrate intake. Like, in that case, it's just 100 grams. There's the old rule of, which is very, very, it's not a very specific and exact number.
Building in the same place as we, you know, my story is probably very similar to yours. If not, you could relate to mine telling you about when I was a kid training in my parents' basement. And that's when I fell in love with it, and Flex Magazine and, you know, Weeder and this and that. You know, back in the 80s.
I can use 10 IUs post-workout unless they, like, want to go hypo. Unless they want to be shaking, you know, and sweating 2 hours later. So they would maybe build up. Based on their current carbohydrate intake. And then the carbohydrate in the food would be the primary draw.
Stuff that wasn't working for you, and get back to just the parts that were fun. And quickly it became the next drive, you know, the next direction, the next charge.
Sure.
What about just having
fun? And those would hopefully be then adding to what you're getting other than just from the food. That as opposed sense. To... Yeah, that's sort of keeping the you know, the horse before the cart, as opposed to a lot of people will just say, I'm going to add in insulin. This is the way it's asked almost every time.
But a lot of that along the time was making sure that I was keeping my name out there to some degree.
Okay.
Whether via the podcast or via blogging or whatever. And, you know, now, like, I'm not even in the gym anymore. I'm just doing online coaching.
People using 40 or 60 IUs is... You can see someone, let's say, over the course of time, they start off by using 10 IUs and they weigh 220 pounds. Or two, let's say they weigh 220 and they're using 10 IUs. And 10 IUs can almost make them hypo.
So, you know, for what else the other stuff that I do for a living. And then part of it, I did have an idea that I thought was a really good, unique idea that would be a lot of fun. And I still do, you know, honestly. But I think it was just I needed more time, you know, and I jumped at it.
What's going on there is not that they've changed their body mass so much, and it's not like they've increased their body mass sevenfold, or they've increased their body fat sevenfold, but they've certainly reduced their insulin sensitivity massively, because they've got so much more.
It was because he really poured himself into it, you know.
Yeah, and it was obvious too, you know.
Adam put 10 times the effort into Geared Up than he did into his clients. You know, me, I put 10 times the effort into my clients that I did into Geared Up. So because of that, Geared Up was able to build up.
Sometimes you've heard the story, they start with 6 IUs and they used 8 IUs and then, you know, they just increased by 2 IUs like every other workout. And the next thing you know, they've gone from 6 to 26.
Right.
6 weeks. It's like, okay, like something's, obviously they got some endogenous insulin release as well.
Challenging. But then on top of that, you said, can't you just have fun with it? Again, like, yeah, I can. Like I said, it kind of depends on the content and what we're doing. When we were just interviewing pros every week, like I said, there comes a certain point.
Those two things tend to go hand in hand. So,
all right. Well, are you pumped for Swole Trinity this week?
It's going to be. Yeah, how many topics do we have? We got enough topics for like a dozen podcasts already.
Yeah, it's going to be good, man. I'm excited. I'll be sitting.
So maybe, okay, let's try pushing this in a different direction, come up with some more unique angles on things, which is what I was trying to do and start doing with Beyond Driven. I'd even talked to Adam, and we were going to maybe start talking about regrouping a little bit, because I think he's getting sick of the direction the show
is. I'll be back over for a while, so I'm excited for that.
So they're both hello.
Yes, I will.
All right, brother.
For another episode of Muscle Minds with Dr. Scott Stevenson, I'm Scott McNally. Go to fortitudetraining.net and check out the ebook. And we're supposed to, I got to have the book. I'm going to bring it down.
CERN, but more awareness of, you know, who we're sponsored by and are we stepping on toes. Don't get me wrong. I don't think Adam ever made any decisions and purposely censored himself.
I truly doubt he would have.
No, I agree. But...